you know, and they start talking to you about something, you should be able to go, that doesn't sound like Bible.
Right.
Right? Or whatever it is that you have a conversation with, or you hear about, or you see this thing, or you read about this thing, or, it, you know, you spend too much time on the internet, you're trying to figure everything out, but you need to be careful. Mm-hmm. Be careful with that. Why? Because it needs to be rooted and grounded and settled in the truth of God's word. And so the more that we are settled in that, the better we are. And so he says, and be not moved away, in Colossians 1:23, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And this is where, you know, it was on time, but I cut it off last week because I was like, oh, there's too much here, right? So that's where we are, and that's what we want to get into here with this passage. Now, we talked about verse 23. At the beginning, I talked to you about that word if, and how the word if in the Bible can the emphasis is sometimes on the if, meaning if this thing, then this, but if this other thing, then it's completely opposite. And sometimes the emphasis on the if. In this verse, the emphasis is on the continue. If ye continue in the faith, and then it goes on down through here and talks about what God's done and how Paul's made a minister of these things, and eventually that we're going to stand before the Lord, right? The context of the rest of this chapter here is the context of Paul saying, I'm going to present you before the Lord, and when you stand before God, as those that are saved and born again, this church at Colossae, these Colossian people, when I put you before the Lord, I want you to be as clean and as holy as possible when you stand before the Lord. And so the context of what he's saying is in that context. So the verse says, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. All right, now, there's basically three different ways that I know of. There's probably more, but there's three different ways that I know of to read this verse and to understand what this verse is saying. All right, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. All right, so the first thing that it could be talking about, and I'll tell you where what I think it is. It'll be the third one, just so you know. All right, so this one, then maybe this one, then here's the one I think it's talking about. It's the one that has the most scriptural backing in the context of the scripture. All right, if ye be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, he says, which ye have heard and which was preached. All right, so this hope of the gospel is either Paul talking about his gospel. All right, it could be Paul. Paul might be saying, if you be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, meaning 1 Corinthians 15 gospel. Right, now I hope you know, maybe you're not familiar with that. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Right, that is, if you say, well, what is the gospel? I understand we can go to Romans. And we can, you know, go through the Romans road. But if you want to know what the gospel is, the Romans road is pretty much how you get saved. All right, but what are we believing in to be saved? It's 1 Corinthians 15. You can turn there. 1 Corinthians 15. There are places in the scripture that we would say, if we bring up a doctrine, there are some places in the Bible we would go, or we could say, if you go here and read these verses, this will give you everything you need. Now, of course, there's other verses that back up those doctrines, right? But we would call them a salient verse. What does that mean? These salient verses mean this encompasses everything that we need to know about it, right here. And if we're talking about what Paul's gospel is, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that's where you need to go, right? So if someone says, well, what's the gospel? Which is a good question to ask those other people, by the way, that try to tell you should join their church because you're missing out on something. You know, well, I have a Bible, and I have the Holy Spirit of God in my heart after I got saved. Well, you're missing out on some other things. You know what? You know what you can ask anybody? Just say, "How do I get to heaven?" That's a very simple question to ask anybody, any religion. They're trying to talk you into their thing. How do I get to heaven? Because once they start talking about anything outside of Jesus Christ, then you can go, "Ah, we're good. No thanks." Yep. Right? Oh, no, it's through Christ, absolutely. But then you got to do this other thing, and then you got to do this other thing, and then you do these other three things here, and then you join this, and you keep these, and you add this other book to it, and you do this other stuff, and whatever it is, there's going to be something else, right? I believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. Oh, absolutely. Well, how do I get to heaven then? Just Jesus Christ? Well, right, if they're honest with you, if they're not, they'll start to add stuff. And this is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. It starts in verse 1, but we're going to go right to verse 3 and get into it. All right, he says, this is what you received. It's what you stand in. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is what you and I... Now, the presentation of the gospel isn't just information. The presentation of the gospel is you must receive this. Christ died for our sins. So there's understanding that you're a sinner. There's an understanding that you can't earn it. You can't get there by what you've done. But this is the gospel. When you preach the gospel to somebody, you preach this. You preach it's because of your sin that he died and was buried and rose again the third day to prove that he was who he said he was, the Son of God. And so this is the gospel here. So when we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature under heaven." So this one of this option, and what makes this tricky is this part that says, "which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." All right, so this verse as a standalone verse is kind of like, wow, it's saying some stuff in here, right? So here we are. "If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." So first of all, this is either Paul's gospel, all right, that we just read, and it has been literally spoken to every man, woman, and child. That's what it says, right? Was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And if that's the case, then it was the fulfillment of Mark 16:15. Turn there with me. Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go into all the world. So here, as Paul, I don't have it. And I guess I do have it. Not in this Bible marked, but 62 to 64 AD. If you have a Schofield, you'll see that on the top probably of Colossians. Maybe a different Bible might have a date in it. But the book of Colossians, written probably somewhere 62 to 64 AD. So by that time period, Paul, writing to the Colossians when he writes this, he's saying, one option is he's saying, hey, do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. If that's what he means, he's saying the gospel has been preached to everybody that's on the earth. By 62 AD, remember, Christ died and rose again, let's just put it for easy math, 33, all right, when he was 33 years old, died, buried, and rose again. All right, so we're talking, let's do some math here, right? 30 years, right? Everybody's with me? Am I right? Someone check me, okay? Not if it's true, not if you don't know, you're just agreeing with me. 30 years, sounds good. Everyone's getting their phones out, punching the calculator numbers in. About 30 years, Paul says, hey, the gospel's been preached everywhere. I guess that's an option, but it doesn't seem like a legitimate option. It doesn't seem like a literal option to be able to say that. All right, so that's one option. Here's another option. The verse means the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. It means it was preached at Calvary. Here's a different way of putting it. It was preached at Calvary for every creature, meaning that it was proclaimed when Christ was on the cross. It was proclaimed Christ's death for everyone. It was preached to every creature, his death on the cross. All right, so that's an option. And I know some say that. That's their explanation of the verse, is to say it wasn't preached to literally every creature, but it was preached for every creature. All right, now we're not correcting the King James by saying that. All right, because it says was preached. That's past tense. So that means when he was on the cross, the gospel was for everybody, right? We're not Calvinistic in here, right? The gospel is for everyone. All right, so that's one explanation, but I don't really think it's either of those explanations. Again, I think the emphasis, we need to pay attention on where the emphasis should lie. All right, so if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. All right, I don't think the emphasis is on the gospel, as in 1 Corinthians 15. I think the emphasis is on the hope of the gospel. All right, say why. Well, let's do some homework. Look in chapter 1, but look in verse 27. Same chapter, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, so that hope starts to be defined here in the very same chapter. He's saying this hope of glory is in connection with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? Now, we'll look at some other verses here, but again, this hope is not like, oh boy, I would really like it to be true. Right? It's not that kind of hope. Like, well, I think so. I really hope it is. It's not that kind of hope. It's in hope, like in this world, we have hope. Why? Because of him. It's not a maybe kind of hope. It is my hope is in the Lord. And that's where it rests in what is solid, is that. So this hope is connected with Jesus Christ. Look in Titus chapter number 1. The book of Titus chapter 1. The reason I'm taking time with this is because once you get an if, and then once you get this idea of somehow being able to stray away from this gospel that often gets emphasized, then all of a sudden this verse starts to turn the wheels like, well, what if I don't? What if I don't stay solid in the gospel? What if someone does turn away from this gospel? What if they're not settled and grounded, but they get saved, and then someone comes along and takes that seed that God's buried in their heart, and they go into the world, or they end up going into some false doctrine, or they start to believe that they have to be baptized to be saved, or they have to speak in tongues to be saved, or they have to not work on Saturday to be saved, or they have to eat the wafer and drink out of the cup to be saved, like all these other things. Well, what if that happens? What if that goes? So that's why I'm trying to explain the verse fully, so that we can read through here with confidence in the scriptures that we're settled in. So
Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and I'm not doing good at getting where I need to be. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. Let's read verse 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. All right, so there's this hope again. And it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If God promised it and he cannot lie, then it's not a hope like, well, I really hope I'm getting it. It's not a promise of eternal life if it's a maybe so. It's not a hope so, maybe so. I know that I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's how I know I have it. All right, so he is the hope of eternal life. Look in chapter 3, verse 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. We're going to back up to verse 4. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through, what was the means of salvation? Through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see it? That hope is not, oh man, I think I have eternal life. It's not that. It's not that kind of hope. He is the hope of eternal life. Right? He is the hope of eternal life. But not only that, look also at its connection in Titus chapter 2, and start in verse 12. This is probably one of the first verses you thought of when we talked about the hope in connection with Christ. Chapter 2 and verse number 12, teaching us, this is the grace of God, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So not only is he our hope of eternal life, but he is the blessed hope, not just Christ, but what else? His appearing. That's what it says. Looking, we're in this world, living. We're supposed to be living soberly and righteously and godly in what? In this present world. In this present world that is ungodly and unrighteous. That's how we're supposed to be living, separate because of the grace of God through salvation. We know these things. God tells us these things. He bears these things on our hearts. He says, you should be living separate and different in this very world, this present world that is ungodly and unrighteous and unholy and godless in this world. And as we live like that in this world, what are we doing? Looking for that blessed hope. We're waiting for him to come back. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our blessed hope. We can have a bad day and we can say, even so, come Lord Jesus. You can have a good day and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come on back, Lord. We're looking for it. It's the blessed hope. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You turn there, I'm going to turn there. Then I'm going to go back and read the verse for you again to gain some context. All right, so the context of this hope, all right, is Christ. And not only Christ, but Christ's return. All right, Christ's return is our hope. He's going to fix everything when he comes back, right? And if you think everything's going great, and I hope it is going great for you, if you think everything's going great, just wait till he comes back. Then you'll be like, boy, what was I thinking? Right? I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's where we're looking for, man. People in this life, they think this is, you know. I had a guy at a door one time. I was knocking on doors with a Vietnam veteran, and it was my turn, so I knocked on the door, and a man comes around the same age as the man I was with. And I told him who we were and why we were there, and we knocked on his door, and that we're a church that cares about him in the neighborhood, and if he belonged to a church, and started talking a little bit, and he says, I've already been to hell. And I said, hey, I'll listen to anybody's story, right? Okay, tell me about it. I was in Vietnam. I said, oh. And I said, whoosh. This is Greg Rakowski. He was also in Vietnam. What did that mean? It was my time to step aside. You might not know Greg Rakowski. Greg Rakowski is very blunt. That's Greg Rakowski. Greg Rakowski says, Vietnam, and he says, you know, he has a little bit of tact to him, praise the Lord. He says, oh, you know, what were you in? You know, what division were you in? All that kind of stuff. And he says, listen, I was in Vietnam, boots on the ground. He said, that is not eternal fire that burns forever. That's what hell is. And without Jesus Christ, that's where you'll go and burn forever. And I'm just going, that's what I was going to say. Right? Some people think, man, I've been through some really bad stuff, and some people have been through some really bad things. And they think, oh, man, I've already gone through hell. You know, people on the job, they use that. Oh, this is hell, you know. No. Greatly underestimating an actual hell. And some people think that a really good time or money in the bank or whatever makes them happy for a moment, man, this is living it up. This is heaven, you know. No. We have the Bible to tell us the truth, but you and I don't understand how horrible hell is, and we don't understand how great heaven's going to be. Like, we can't quite get to those extremes in our mind. But heaven's going to be great. Heaven's going to fix everything. And I can't wait for the Lord to come back. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. I'm going to read this. You stay in Romans. All right? You're in Romans. Don't go. Don't go back. All right? If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature. Remember that part? The to every creature part? Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon, you thought that was a Southeastern term. It's not, it's a Bible term, actually. And then they brag about it, you know. So they're always walking around saying, I reckon. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, all right, so now it's not just talking about, Romans 8 is not just talking about man. You see man in the passage. You see the sons of God. You see the children of God in 21. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our what? Body. That's the part that's not perfected yet. Right? Soul has been taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of man, not a problem. Right? God's taking care of it. This body, well, we still drag it around. right? We're still putting shoes on it and walking around this earth. We're dragging this thing around, doing what we need to do. But my soul's already saved. My spirit is God's. You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting to get rid of this thing. I'm waiting to drop this, like the song says, this robe of flesh. I'll drop and rise. Is that how the song goes? So this robe of flesh that we carry around, this is the problem that I'm waiting to get rid of so that I can stand before God perfect and holy before Him. And I can stand before Him and not have any of the nagging issues that this flesh causes me. Right? And stand and keeps me from serving God whole, like holy, not as in H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L. Yeah, the other spelling, right? L-Y, yeah. That kind, the completed version. See, when you don't know how to spell it, you just use another word, right? That's what you do. And I'm talking. I don't even have to spell. I'm just talking, and then I got myself in a bind. That's what I'm waiting for this to all be corrected. And that is, we are waiting the adoption, the redemption of our body in verse 23. Look in verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So this hope in verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Well, what's happening? We have the promise of God's word that in 1 Corinthians 15, that this mortality is going to put on immortality. This flesh, we're going to drop this and we're going to put on a supernatural, perfect, and sinless glorified body. I can't tell you all about that body. I don't have all the pieces in the scripture to tell you what all that's going to be like. I can tell you some things, but I can't tell you everything that's going to be like. All right, but we're going to get that someday. And so the Bible says we're saved by hope. My soul's not saved by hope. My soul is saved by Jesus Christ and my faith in Christ. But in this earth walking around, I'm saved. I can be saved from day to day because my hope is in Christ. It's what we can go through and say, He's coming back. He's coming back, and when He comes back, He's going to fix this whole thing. And by this whole thing, I mean me. He's going to fix me up. And I'm going to be able to stand before God, and I'm not going to be able to mess it up. Can you picture it? Right? I mean, you pray and you come to church and you read your Bible and you want to serve God, and man, you can get a hold of that. I understand at certain times it seems more real to you, and man, I want to do this for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, you know, what just happened? And you messed up and you said the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing, you went to the wrong place, you saw the wrong thing and thought the wrong. What just happened? I failed the Lord again. And you go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But one day, I mean, which is our hope, we're going to drop that part of us and we're going to stand before God and we're going to go, I'm only thinking good stuff. Right? And I mean, everything's going to be corrected. Yeah. Right? I mean, no more, we can't fail Him if we tried. Why? Because we have a perfected body. Amen. We're going to do the right thing. Why? Because we are going to be perfect in nature. This is the part that is not perfect. This is the part we walk around dragging this carcass around going, live for God. Get a hold of yourself. Right? That's what we do. And it says here, we're waiting, but that's just the our part. That's our part. But look what it says. For we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You come out here in the early mornings, Walt knows, he's walking around here cleaning stuff. I'll be sitting outside or going, walking around the property here a little bit. And what do you have? You have all these birds around here. And they're all hanging out. I think Walt has them all named, maybe. I don't know. But all these birds coming around, and they're all just singing and sing-songing and doing all this kind of stuff. And I think, man, I wonder sometimes if they just think, Lord, get us out of here. Lord, take us out of this place. Why? It says a whole creation. Why? Those birds obey God better than you and I do. His creation walking around in travail. Why? Because the earth is cursed. Right? You know this? The earth is cursed. Look in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, let's look in verse 12. Let's read 11 because it's good. Why not? No, okay. Get a hold of yourself. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What's going to happen? When the Lord comes back, he's going to not just heal us, he's going to heal this land. He's going to heal this earth. I don't know what it's going to sound like for the mountains and the hills to sing out. I don't know what that's going to be like. But it's going to be perfected. And the animals are going to be perfected. And I remember a stately southern gentleman standing up in a meeting I was in once and preaching. And he was preaching on the Lord coming back. And he was liking it to a son going home after battle, and he was talking about that, and he was talking about just how God's gonna correct everything and fix everything, and he could speak like I can't, right? He was just painting this beautiful picture with his words, and he was talking about the trees clapping for the return of Christ to fix everything. And the hills, and that's what it's going to be like. At whatever it is you can picture in your brain, it's going to be better than that, yeah. Right? When the Lord comes back, why? Because he is the hope. He is the hope of the gospel. He is going to fix it all, Isaiah chapter number 11. It's not just you and I. It is all of creation. All of creation that Adam knew in the garden, with the animals, and it was perfect, and it was, you know, I don't know how our glorified bodies are going to work, but, you know, I know well enough when I am preaching, and I'm thinking, man, it's getting warm in here, and I see people, like, putting coats on and stuff. I know that your perfect temperature is not my perfect temperature. Our glorified bodies, whatever, God's just going to, like, give us it's going to be the perfect temperature for us. It's going to, you know, no more mosquitoes, you know, out there. Everything's going to be... If there are mosquitoes, they're going to turn vegetarian. You know, they're not going to be wanting to take a bite out of me. So Isaiah chapter 11, look in verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the branch of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Look in verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He should start picking up on some of these things. If you've read your Bible, some of these words and terms, you know, some of that you should start thinking Matthew chapter number 5. The gospel of the kingdom, you start seeing about that meek and that peace and those things that are going to be preached, and the poor with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. You thought I was kidding about the vegetarian stuff. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamath and from the islands of the sea. What's going to happen? That's the Lord coming back and establishing, lifting the curse that is on this earth. It's going to be lifted. The curse is going to be lifted. And all of these things that we read from 6 down through 9, you wouldn't put those together. You've never been in the zoo where you saw lions and lambs hanging out in the same cage. Why? Because, well, soon it would just be a lion. You've never seen that, right? You wouldn't take serpents and just put your child down by the den of a serpent. You wouldn't do that. What is it? The earth, the curse of the earth is going to be lifted. That's what's going to happen. So, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Verse 23, sorry. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ. He kind of gets off this sidetrack, but he talks about being unblameable and unreprovable in his sight when you got saved and holy from verse 22. And if we continue grounded and settled in the faith and be not moved away from that hope of the gospel, which is Christ and his return, if we be not moved away from that which we've heard, and that hope has been preached to every creature, the Lord's coming back and it's going to fix this whole earth. And that hope that's been preached, if we can, and there's other verses that I didn't put in here, but it's connected. When you see that term helmet of salvation, all right, in Ephesians, some people say, oh, well, you got to be saved. No, that helmet of salvation also has another cross reference. That helmet of salvation is trusting in that hope of Christ's return. All those pieces of the armor are to help you live as someone who is saved, living for Christ. All right, righteousness and faith and truth. And we're supposed to be on our knees and praying, our feet shod with the gospel. And there, you know, there's no covering for the knees because we should be on our knees praying. It tells us that. And the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that all helps us live for Christ. And the helmet of salvation, you know what that does? That guards our hearts and minds. I'm crossing over into Sunday school now. It guards our hope, our hearts and our minds to say, he's coming back. He's the hope of my salvation. It's the hope of his return. And so if we can stay grounded and settled in that hope of the gospel as we walk in this earth. And as Paul preaches in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. If we can keep that hope, then our perfection in Christ with our soul and our attempt to live for God in this body, we can stay on the path of unblameable and unreprovable and try to live holy. You see how it's all? I know I took a month to get here, right? But you have to understand the building blocks and the pieces, and then all of a sudden go, oh, the hope of the gospel, so that Paul can, one more verse, I know, I'm making up for last week, obviously. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. This is what Paul is saying. He uses this term that he says in Colossians, that we may, him and those with him, may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I want to present you perfect to Christ Jesus. Look in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. That could be my life's verse, actually. And indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. See what he says? He's talking to the church at Corinth, who has their problems, for sure. And he's saying, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, because everything that you, if you don't just live pure and as a chaste virgin for Christ, then like many times he tells the Old Testament Israelites, you have gone a whoremongering after other gods. And he says, I want you to be a chaste virgin. I can present you to Christ as what? Perfect and pure and holy. And Paul says, that's how I want to present you. And so in Colossians, it's that same concept. In Colossians, he's saying, man, this is why we preach and we warn and we teach, because I want to present you to Christ as his church. I want to present you to Christ perfect and sinless and holy. And that's why I write these letters. That's why I preach these messages. And that's why I stir you up in these ways, so that you can live right. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Because if you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, you might come back today. And I want the Lord to find me faithful and busy when he comes back. That's what I want. I don't want him to come back. I mean, you know what my luck would be? My luck would be I get fed up with it. I get discouraged in the flesh. And hopefully there's a long string of things that would need to happen. And I just stand up here and I say, forget it. I'm not going to pastor anymore. I'm done. I'm quitting on the Lord. And I'm going off to do whatever I want to do. And I quit and I go off and I'd feel pretty good about it, right? I mean, we're idiots sometimes. We feel pretty good about it. Yeah, I did this thing, you know. And then like the next day, the Lord would be like, dun, dun, dun. And I'd be like, ah. And I'd stand before the Lord and I'd stand there like, I quit. I quit on him. Yeah. I mean, I gave these years and then I just got fed up and I was tired of it. And I just quit on the Lord and he'd be like, time to go home. I had like 24 hours just to stick it out. And then stand before him. Why? Paul says, I finished my course with joy. Amen. The joy part I'm working on, right? But I finished my course. We have a course we have something to go. Keep going. That's why we're here, right? Let's finish this thing out. Let's finish it until the Lord comes back. You know, the end might not be 80, 90, 100, 100, whatever. It might not be an age. It might be when the Lord comes back. Let's just stay faithful until the Lord comes back. You know, a preacher said one time, you know, imagine someone gives into a sin and again, they're discouraged and they just want a cigarette and they light a cigarette and when the Lord comes back, you know, and up they go. Get to heaven and, yeah, oh, man. I want to be found faithful. I think that's what you want. That's why you're here tonight. And, man, just to keep going. And why? Because Paul says, hey, you're my church. I've been writing to you and caring for you, and I want to present you. Paul says, I'm responsible for you, the care of the churches. And I want to present you to Christ when he comes back or when we pass from this life. I want to present you to Christ. And it's why we do all these things. And so I don't believe it's if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the gospel which ye've heard and was preached every... Oh no, what if I go away from the gospel? No, it's not talking about our salvation. It's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. That's what this part of the chapter is talking about. It's not, oh no, what if I don't stick with the Lord? All right, you're going to face God someday. You're going to stand before Him someday. And He'll fix it. He'll fix it. It won't all be attaboys. But you walk away from the Lord and He'll fix it. You'll have to stand before Him. But no, He's saying, man, just keep that hope of the gospel. Keep that blessed hope in sight. And it'll keep you going for the Lord. And so that's what I believe it's saying. And that hope of the gospel is preached to every creature. Well, this whole earth is just waiting, like Romans 8, just waiting for the Lord to come back to get things fixed up. And praise the Lord for that. All right. That's where we'll stop there in Colossians tonight. We are still going to take our prayer requests.